So we had our National Day of Prayer this past week, and we had a number of people come and stand in the drizzle, or is that, it really wasn't a strong drizzle. I don't know what you call that when it's just kind of even lighter than a drizzle. So it was actually kind of peaceful standing out there and just light raindrops falling and praying for our country, praying for our town, praying for this city churches, praying for our church, praying for the people here. So it was really nice. We had a good group of people, and next year, hopefully, as we and a few of the other churches in His City, this city started that this year, hopefully next year we can spread out and really cover some big areas. So I need to get on to today's subject, but I have to brag on God for just a moment. Is that all right? We went through, some of you guys who were with us earlier in the year, we went through a financial series earlier, Take God at His Word. We all read some books and we all took some steps in faith, and it's been really, really awesome. If you notice in the bulletin and you look at the monthly averages there, they've been up big time since February. So we made commitments and we've been following through with them, and I had shared with you guys that I had committed to step up where we were at. And I think in that I had shared with you guys that we paid for our timeshare in 2016, but because of some things that were going on, we didn't get a chance to use it. And so I thought that was all completely gone. And so this is 2018. So when I called them this year and said, hey, you know, what are we looking at with our week this year? And they said, oh, well, you still have a week from 2016. And I was like, we can use that? And they were like, well, yeah, there's, you know, of course there's a little bit of a fee, but I thought we had just completely given up on that. And here's a really cool thing. I mean, here we are. We started stepping it up, our personal selves in our life, and we've been doing that. And then when I make this phone call, I'm like, holy cow, here's, you know, hundreds of dollars that I thought was gone. And God blesses us more and more and more. You can't outbless Him. It's just amazing. And I've already started hearing stories like this. And I want to encourage you, think about these stories. Write these stories down. We are going to have some times here as a church. There's some things cooking. I won't share too much there because it's still in the cooking phase. Where we need to be sharing some of these stories about how God is blessing us, because we as a church are taking God at His word on a financial side of things, but that bleeds into so many areas in our faith and in our life. And so I just wanted to share that because that's a God story and it's really awesome. So we're going to be using that week in a couple of weeks. So in a couple of weeks, you guys are going to be blessed with Joe. He's going to be bringing up an awesome message. He's already sent me the outline and different things. He's had it on his heart for a while. So the week after 20th. Okay, it's just the 20th. So you guys will have Joe. So this is going to be awesome. All right, now I can jump in after bragging on God. What difference does it make? Believing is important. It is an essential step in our foundation. But if believing does not lead us to action, if change does not follow belief, if we are not influenced and shaped by what we claim we believe, then what good are our beliefs? We believe, but what difference does it make? Core subjects of our beliefs should produce core actions. I believe in disciple making. What difference does it make? It's kind of funny. Every Sunday, you guys, when I make the first statement, you jump in with an amen because it's a good statement. So I don't know if you just got used to me coming back with the what difference does it make? Or if this subject is a subject where we're kind of like, oh, I don't know. I mean, they're going to, and I want to warn you guys that what God has put on my heart is something where I'm like, all right, this is not going to be easy to preach. Because it's thick and it's real, and I'm just going to leave it there, and we're going to jump into God's word, and we're going to let His Holy Spirit speak to us. In fact, let's pray real quick. Father, we come to You, and we just pray about this subject, about disciple making, that it should make a difference to us, and we ask right now that You would open our hearts, and You would open our ears, that You would open our eyes, Lord, that we might be able to see You and Your truths. Father, I ask that we would be soft, moldable clay, for you are the potter. Thank you so very much for being very clear with us in your word about what you desire from your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So a couple weeks ago, we looked at the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. Let's go on and review that one more time. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make what? Disciples. Make disciples of all nations." And we have the two-part piece there of what it means to make a disciple, to make a follower of Jesus. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We're not alone in this. I believe most of us in this room, if not everyone in this room, I believe we hold this passage in high regard. I believe we hold that in a high level of respect, that Jesus says, go and make disciples. And we look at the Great Commission as a command. Go and make disciples. A command for all Christians. Not just Christian leaders, not just the apostles in the beginning of the first church. But it is a command through generation after generation after generation. From the oldest to the youngest who have given their lives to Christ. We look at this command and we hold it in very high regard. Go and make disciples. You baptize them and you teach them. You evangelize, which ends in baptism. And then you disciple. That's the process of helping someone, leading them to be more like Jesus. So here's the deal. I believe in disciple making. I believe that you believe in disciple making. But do we really understand what we're saying when we say disciple making? We say we believe it because it's in the Bible, and of course we're going to believe what's in the Bible. But do we really get what it means to make disciples, to invest into others the way Jesus is asking us to invest into them? The first part of Jesus' teaching here, what he's talking about, I think we get what it means to help someone come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We understand the importance of this, and we understand how to share about the importance of this. We understand about the importance of believing the gospel of Jesus. We understand the importance of turning your life to God, to repent. We understand the importance of being baptized into Christ. We understand the importance of making disciples, of evangelizing this first part, all nations. I think we get this first part. And so because we get it, I think it's very easy for us to measure it. We can see and we can say, last Sunday, we had a baptism, amen? Amen? And we can look at that and we can say, we had a baptism. And for most of us here, we're not just celebrating that someone got dunked in the water on a Sunday morning. We're celebrating all of what that encompasses. We're celebrating all of the reality that what has happened. This has been a process of someone answering God's call on their life and responding to God and being obedient to God and giving their life to him and coming to a knowledge of Jesus and making him their Savior, accepting him as their Savior, as their Lord. And that's what we all see. That's what we all look at when we see a baptism. And we know that's how we measure what a baptism is. And we get excited about that because we can measure that. But what about this next part that Jesus mentions? Teach them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded us. That's not just a command for those with the gift to teach. It's not just a command for those with the Holy Spirit gift of teaching or preaching. It's not just a command for certain people in God's kingdom. I believe the Great Commission was meant for all Christians. And this is not just referring to a classroom setting or a large group setting like we're in right now, but to teach those to obey what Jesus has commanded us, that's for every one of us. We are all responsible to make disciples. We are all responsible to pass along the teachings of Jesus. If we all believe in discipleship making or in disciple making, if we all believe that these words of Jesus are super important, so much that churches have given this a title, the Great Commission. That's not a title that Matthew wrote in there. That wasn't on the original, scroll. We've added that because this passage has meant that much to us as a church. I don't think that's a bad thing to put a title on that, because it is a very important scripture. If it is so important, then wouldn't it be important to be able to identify if we're accomplishing it or not? I think it would be. We're all kind of looking around. How do we measure that? A few weeks ago, I talked about evangelism and how evangelism increases the breadth of God's church. The numbers increase, and that's biblical. That's throughout the book of Acts. You see the numbers are increasing, and they celebrate that, and that's something we can celebrate. That's a very tangible thing to celebrate. When we see baptisms, we can look at that, and we can look at numbers of people that are accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we can measure that. That Sunday, I also talked about how discipleship increases the depth of God's church. And this is biblical also, but it's not as easy to measure as sheer numbers are easy to measure. In order to be able to measure discipleship, we need a clear picture of what a disciple looks like, so that we can ask, how are we doing? Are we accomplishing our goal, or are we missing our goal? How can we be better at making disciples? You need to be able to identify something in order to measure it. I believe that disciple making is a necessary task. Not extracurricular, not bonus. It is a core task for God's church. It's a core task for God's church to be good at. I think there are a lot of churches out there that are baptizing people. And that's great. I'm all for that. I love that moment. I believe there's real evangelism happening in churches across the United States, across the world. I believe there are real differences in eternity happening in those souls. And that's to be celebrated. I believe there are a lot of churches out there that are serving. That really get that. That there's a lot of Christian outreach happening. And a lot of people are seeing Jesus with hands and feet of people as they serve, just as Jesus served. And great things are happening in that area as well. I think there are a lot of churches that are doing a good job at bringing masses into church gatherings. I believe that there are some very good things that can happen for the kingdom in that environment. I think there's meaningful corporate worship that is happening in our churches. I believe there's a lot of very good biblical sermons being taught and preached about various subjects in various churches, and that's good stuff. But what about this topic? What about the specific topic of disciple making? This element of followers of Christ making more followers. Not just baptizing them and leaving them, but walking along the maturing journey with them. How are we doing there? Over the past 5 years or so, I've had a growing just passion in my heart, but not something that's quite made it to the intellectual stage. but it's just been burning in my heart for about 5 years on this particular subject. I believe that this is something that God's church needs to be better at. I can't do anything about all the other churches out there, but God has placed me here. And so I've really been searching how can I do something better to lead out in this? How can we be better at this? And I'm a very intuition-based person. Those of you guys who know me know that. And my intuition is very trustworthy, but feelings, intuition, that's not tangibles. Those are intangibles. And in order to accomplish a task, you have to convert that. You have to identify something. You have to identify it to measure it in order to know, okay, here's what we need to do because here's the goal. Here's what it looks like. So I've been working through that myself so that I can hopefully better lead in an area that I think our church really could do better at. And I say that not as a negative. I think we have the tools as a church to really do a great job at making disciples. And I think it's up to us as leadership to lead us there. I think we're at a great place and a great time in our church for this to come out. I think all the planets are aligning. The church is in a great place where our understanding of breadth and depth matters to us. And we understand that both need our attention. And we understand that we should have a personal responsibility to not just increase the numbers, but to increase the depth, to increase the maturity of those who believe in Christ and accept him as their Savior, and to walk along that journey with them. So I want to do a better job leading out in this area. And so I'm praying, and I'm working, and I don't have anything up my sleeve yet. I'm not setting you up for something. I'm bringing you in really early in this process and just sharing with you what's on my heart. But the timing's right for it. Our church is ready for this. The subject's been on my heart. Our leadership, we're working through the renewing the focus. And there, let me tell you what, we're still working. We've kind of pressed the pause button. And John is in charge in the next phase. And man, he's itching to go. And the next phase is the dream phase. But we had some things to work through as a leadership. And I tell you what, some of these leadership meetings have just been awesome. And I wish you guys could be flies on the wall in these meetings, because there have been some really, really good discussions happening about what does God want us to do as a church? What are the we've been working through core values. And there's just some really, really good stuff happening there. And we haven't been talking about discipleship. But all the things we've been talking about, I could very easily see this being something in the future of our church, in the renewing the focus movement, to do something to be better as a church. We have a leadership. That is their priority. How can we make this church more healthy? I love that. And so we're a good time for this. So with all of that, today, let's just get a baseline meaning for this word, because I really feel like we're going to be seeing more and more of this word. So let's get a baseline, something we can return to, something we can go to and say, okay, here is the baseline. Here's what disciple making looks like. I believe in disciple making. What difference does it make? Let's write this down. I have to be one to make more. Some of the things I think go without saying, but then I've learned through years and years of speaking that some of those things probably should be said anyway. You have to be one to make more. That seems like a very simple truth, and it is a very simple truth, but sometimes we kind of skip over that. You have to be a disciple first. You can't lead someone into an area that you have not already gone. You have to be a disciple to provide a living example. Does that mean you have to be perfect? No. Paul, we take on the same attitude that Paul had. Paul says, I've not arrived yet. I'm still working for it. I'm still striving for it. I'm still running the race. I haven't arrived yet. And so we have that same attitude. But Paul also had the attitude that I'm going to set the example and you can follow my example. You got to have both. I haven't arrived yet. I'm still growing. But in my growing, I'm going to set an example for you to follow. You have to be one if you want to make more. And that's what all of our notes today are based around. They're centered around that premise. Under each bullet point, or under the three of the bullet points there, we have a personal goal and we have a discipleship goal, and they both work together. So the first topic, dedication. Let's write that down, dedication. Our personal goal of dedication is a full dependence on God as we completely abandon ourself. To be a disciple, the cost is everything. The gain is life. We become fully dependent on God, fully dependent on His grace, fully dependent on His security, fully dependent on His provision, fully dependent on His wisdom, His guidance, His direction for our life. That's what a disciple looks like. That's dedication. When Jesus called the first four disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they were all fishermen. Jesus calls them to follow Him. They leave their nets. They leave their boats. They leave their livelihood. They leave the family business to follow Jesus. Does that mean that every one of us should go in Monday morning and give them our 2-week notice? No. Now, God's put you there for a reason. However, it does mean that if God called us to do that, we would be willing and obedient to do so. God called those four men to do that, and so they did. And if God called us to leave where we were to follow Him, we should be willing to do that. That's the dedication level that the Bible teaches. Romans 12 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. I love that term. Holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. To offer our bodies as living sacrifices. I love this picture because what happens to a sacrifice? It dies. That's the purpose of a sacrifice. Paul says we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. If you think about that, that should kind of make you scratch your head a little bit. How is that possible? What does he mean by this? And I love the depth of this, that we are living sacrifices, meaning that we live to sacrifice again and again and again. It's not just a one-time deal. We as followers of Christ, as his disciples, we live in a lifestyle being a living sacrifice. We die, and then we die again, and then we die again. It's a life of servant. It's a life of sacrifice, of surrender. And Paul says this is our true and proper worship. It's not just singing certain songs on a Sunday morning. I tell you what, any of the songs we sing on a Sunday morning, this Sunday with the full band, last Sunday with the organ, any of the songs we sing in worship will have a whole new level of depth if you're living Romans 12. If you're living as a living sacrifice, living a true and proper worship, then when you come to sing in worship and praise in worship, it means something completely more. It has a depth to it. Jesus says we are to go and make disciples. In the passage I talked about a few minutes ago, where Jesus calls the first disciples, he told the fishermen that they would be fishers of You guys are not politically correct. So some of the changes in the new NIV, the NNIV, it's just NIV, but I like, and this is one that I like, but it takes away that nice little pun, fishermen, fishers of men. They change it to fishers of people. But yeah, so let's read that verse here. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting their net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, family business. Preparing their nets, Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. We are to make more like us. Our personal goal is to abandon ourselves and become fully dependent on God. And so our discipleship goal matches that. Our discipleship goal is to make more disciples who abandon themselves and follow Jesus. This is not easy to teach if your life is not modeling this. How can you talk about this level of dedication that Jesus teaches and teaches very clearly? And others in the Bible modeled this level of dedication. Jesus says, "Teach what I have taught you. Teach those to obey the commands I have given you." Jesus says, "Leave everything, follow me." We're to teach that. How can we teach it if we're not living that? But I love that word. But imagine with me, church, join me here in just a kingdom mental celebration. How powerful would it be to teach that level of dedication while we are living it and supporting it with our lives? How amazing would that be, church? That's powerful. No one would have had any question at all with Paul teaching this level of dedication, would they? They could have looked at Paul and said, "You're crazy, man." But they couldn't have looked at him and said, "Well, you're teaching something that you're not living." No. Paul said, "Here's the level of dedication. You give up everything, you follow Christ. The kingdom's worth everything." And he lived it. It's so much easier to teach that when you're living it. This level of dedication that Jesus teaches. Jesus said, "Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you." And that's just what we should teach. Church, we cannot sugarcoat the teachings of Christ to make up for our inability to discipline ourselves to live that way. Do you hear me? We can't sugarcoat his teaching just because we're not living up to it. Have I arrived? Absolutely not. Should every one of us be on just a hardcore journey as a disciple? Absolutely. And if we are, then we can teach it. If we're not, I think what the church is doing, and I think this is one of the places where, not just us, I think capital C, where we're missing out on making disciples, we're not living it ourselves. And so what we do is we sugarcoat what dedication looks like because we don't want to look bad as his disciples. Church, that's got to stop. I can't do anything about the church at large. But I can share with you what Jesus has put on my heart, what the Holy Spirit has put on my heart, with the hopes of inspiring all of us, myself included. The Holy Spirit speaks through. And man, when he brings some of these words to my heart, I'm like, whoa, I'm not the guy for this. So I'm with you. It's a challenge. But I believe there's a lot of truth in what I just shared. I believe we sugarcoat dedication because we're not living it. We must live it, church. We must teach it because the kingdom's worth it, isn't it?
What? Yes.
The kingdom is worth it. The gospel is worth it. Our allegiance to God is worth it. Then we should live it. We should teach it that way. Jesus said it's like a treasure that a man finds in a field. And he covers it back up and he goes and he sells what? Everything, all that he has, everything he has to buy that field for that treasure. And it's worth it. And it's worth it. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant that's looking for pearls. And he finds one of great value. Pulls out his little, spectacle there and monocle. Is that what those are called? And he says, oh, this is a good deal. He sells everything to buy that one pearl. Isn't this what Jesus teaches? I mean, I'm just pulling stuff out of my hat. I'm bringing to you the teachings of Jesus. Jesus said, go and make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Didn't Jesus say multiple times, this is the value of the kingdom. Here's what the kingdom is worth. It's worth everything. Here's how special it is. Here's how amazing it is. Here's how awesome it is. Now go and share this teaching with other people. And if we're not living it, we can't share it. But if we are living it, how powerful is that? Many people would want what we have if we looked more like it was worth something to us. Many people would want what we have if it looked like it mattered more to us. Maybe we wouldn't be so shy at teaching Jesus' level of dedication if we put more effort into it ourselves. I believe in disciple making. What difference does it make? It should make us step up our game even more. There are people who need to see what a real disciple looks like, so that they have something to shoot for, so that they have something to model after, so that they have someone to look up to in their personal journey. Second element here, obedience. Let's go write that down. Jesus said to make disciples and teach them to do what? You got a shy this morning. Am I coming on too strong? Should I back it? I can't back it off. Woe to me if I'm not preaching this with the power the Holy Spirit has given me to preach it with. Teach them to what?
Obey.
There we go. Crescendo. All right. Teach them to obey. Obedience is a core trait of a disciple. It's a core quality of a disciple. It is a big deal. Obedience. Jesus said, John quotes Jesus in John chapter 8. He said, to the Jews who had followed or who had believed him, Jesus said, the Bible is so very clear on these points I'm bringing to you this morning. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. I mean, it's plain and simple. If you obey, you're my disciples. Here's what a disciple looks like. Here's how you can measure a disciple. They're obedient. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's leave that up just for a minute because we like verse 32, don't we? Oh, we'll quote verse 32. We'll put 32 up somewhere at work. We'll put it on our car. We'll put it on, you know, we'll put it in a note to somebody and encourage them. We'll text that to someone. We'll put it up on our Facebook. We'll Twitter that out. We'll tweet that out. We like 32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That starts with a word that's very important. Then. You got to go backwards and look at verse 31 because that's important. Here's what happens. Then you will know the truth if you obey as his disciple. Then you're going to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We like the thought of liberation, but we shy away from being subject to God, to subjection, to submitting to God as our Lord. We like being free. We don't always like being disciplined. We read in Romans 12:1 earlier that we are to give our lives as a living sacrifice. Let's keep reading that because that has a part two as well. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a great verse. Our obedience results in a transformation. Our obedience, conforming to Jesus' teachings instead of conforming to the pattern of this world, that results in a transformation. Because obeying Jesus' teachings renews our mind. It changes how we think about things when we're obedient to his teachings. And that naturally is going to affect our behavior. So write this down. Our personal goal is to follow Jesus' teachings. This is obedience. Our personal goal is to follow Jesus' teachings. As our mind is renewed, our behavior changes. If your behavior isn't changing as a disciple of Jesus, then listen. And I don't want to be too critical here, but I have to say it like it is. If your behavior is not changing as a disciple of Jesus, you're doing it wrong. Something is not working, and I bet you can funnel that down to obedience. Your mind will be renewed, and your behavior changes. That's what happens when we obey. That's what happens when we read something in the Bible and we say, you know what, I'm not doing that. I need to change my thinking. And then our actions follow. That's what a disciple looks like. That's what our level of obedience looks like. Your mind will be renewed. Your behavior will change. Obedience results in change. Both are the marks of a true disciple. You have to be one if you're going to make more. Paul says in Ephesians, he says, when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your what? To be renewed in your mind. And then a transformation follows. To be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on a new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Obedience results in change. That should be our personal goal. And that should be our discipleship goal. Let's write this down. Our discipleship goal is to share Jesus' teachings to inspire life changes in other followers. If we are living a changed life, a liberated life, a subjected life, an obedient life, a transformed mind kind of life, a not conformed to the pattern of this world type of life, a life that is not being corrupted by our deceitful desires, a life that is new, that is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. If we're living that kind of life as a result of our obedience, it will be so easy to teach that. Jesus said, teach them. Teach them to obey what I have commanded you. Jesus wants full allegiance, full obedience. If you do what I say, that's when you're my disciples. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When we're living it, then we can teach it and share it. Have we arrived? No. But we can't use that as an excuse. I haven't arrived yet, so I'm okay where I'm at. No, church. We obey, we read God's word, and when we discover something new, we say, okay, that's going to renew my mind. That's going to change my behavior. And that's what makes us an example for others to look at, for others to follow. And that's our goal when we come together. To be able to hold each other accountable. Because that should be our joint desire, is to follow Jesus this way, to obey Jesus. And it shouldn't feel like an infringement on my rights or my freedom or my privacy for you as a brother or sister in Christ to pull me aside and say, hey, how are you doing in this area? For you to pull each other aside. We need that. I think we're afraid to do it because we're afraid it's going to come back on us too. Because none of us are perfect. But church, we need to strive for that. And it's not easy. It is difficult. But that's one of the reasons why we have the church. To help each other, to hold each other strong. To be accountability partners, to be encouragement partners. To say, you can do this. You got this. People are struggling with addiction. When they go through a program, they receive something very important out of that program. What do they receive out of that program? What? Support and encouragement. What? Sponsor. Don't we need the same thing? As we're putting off our old self, boy, we can use sponsors. And that's what discipleship looks like. We obey, we hold each other accountable, we're each other's sponsors so that we can be a sponsor for someone else coming in. That's the way those programs work, and they work. When people work the program, I've heard testimony after testimony of people who've been clean for years and years and years. Church, that's a biblical idea. That's not original. That came from God's word. Here's someone who's going through the journey, who's been a little further than you are, and they're going to help you with your journey. That's discipleship. We want to produce disciples. Not people who think that Jesus' teachings are just cool, but people who set their moral compass according to Jesus. Not people who think that following Jesus' teachings are a great way of contributing to our society, but people who look to him as their Lord and their King. Not people who think that Jesus is a great humanitarian, but that Jesus is the source of eternal life. Not people who think that Jesus had great, even revolutionary ideas, but people who look at Jesus and say, that is truth. Truth is a person, and that's who it is. How are we to teach that way if we are not living that way? And then how can we not teach that way if we are living that way? I believe in disciple making. What difference does it make? We should take Jesus seriously about making disciples. It becomes even more important to know and to follow his teachings ourselves. It's a great motivator to know I need to be there for somebody sometime. So I need to get busy with my own life. I need to get in God's word. I need to apply God's word so that I can be a better sponsor, a better example. I don't want to see people going to hell because I'm too ashamed to teach them to obey Jesus because I was too selfish with my own life to be obedient myself. I think it's a great motivation. Church, our obedience is for our relationship with God. It's healthy for us. But our obedience opens the door for us to be life changers for others. And our disobedience keeps us at bay, exactly where Satan would want to keep us. Maturity. Next one. Our personal goal, very simple, is to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. Not just teaching what he taught, but living how he lived. To be like Jesus. Treating others with the very virtues of the gospel of Jesus. Love, acceptance, grace, forgiveness. Jesus said that a student is not above the teacher, but that if the student, when fully trained, he will look like the teacher. Jesus said that, and Luke captured it in Luke chapter 6:40. You have that in your bulletins. It is God's will that we are conformed into the likeness of his son, Romans 8:29, that we would be transformed into Jesus' image with ever-increasing glory, 2 Corinthians 3:18. That we would, Ephesians 5, follow God's example, therefore as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Our personal goal is to be like Jesus. That's what maturity looks like. That's maturity in a nutshell, to look like Jesus. That's the end goal. That's the middle goal. That's the beginning goal. That's the whole journey, to look like Jesus. That's what maturity looks like in a disciple. They look like Jesus. And that's why Paul could say in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That's how we become an example. We act like Jesus. We become like Jesus. So then our discipleship goal is to help others to be like Jesus. Very simple. We live the example, we do our best to help others and to shoot for that same goal. That's discipleship. We live dedicated lives, full dependence on God and complete abandonment of self. And we teach that same principle to other followers. That's discipleship. We live obedient lives. We follow Jesus' teachings. Our mind is renewed and our behavior is changed. And then we teach others that same progression. That's discipleship. We mature into Christ. That's the goal. We grow up into him. We strive to be like Jesus. And then we teach others to be like Jesus. That's discipleship. And we should push one another toward this, because this is what Jesus wants for his church. He wants us to make disciples. I believe in disciple making. I believe you believe in disciple making. It should make a difference, church. It should make a difference for all of us, and we're all in this together. Hebrews 10:24 and 25, let us consider. let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. This is the reason why we come, or one of the reasons we come together. There's a few reasons, but this is one of the reasons we come together here as a church. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. All the more as you see the day, the end day, the last day, the day of judgment, as we see that day approaching. Let's write this down. One of the purposes of meeting together regularly is to encourage each other to stay the course. All the more as we see the day approaching, all the more as we see that day of Jesus coming back, getting closer and closer. The day when no more disciples will be made. The day when we won't have a chance to make more like us. But church, that day isn't here yet. So go and make disciples. We should be very busy preparing for that day as it approaches, by being a disciple, so we can make more disciples. Pray with me. Father, you are so good to us, and you give us so many reasons to obey, to follow you, to live a life that's dedicated to you, to mature and grow up into your Son, Jesus. This is what you have asked of us as your children, as your followers, as your disciples. Father, I ask that you help us to live that. I ask that you help us to hold each other accountable to that. And I ask that you put a burning desire in our hearts, that we would share Jesus' desire of what making a disciple means, what it looks like. That as Jesus walked with his disciples and spent 3 years just investing into them, that we would follow your Son's example. Help us to be better at this so that we can make a difference for your kingdom the way that you want us to. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Awesome topic. And God's going to be working with us. There are ideas. There are things coming. I know David come up to me months ago. Hey, I'm working. God's putting some things on my heart. And I said, I think it matches some things that God's putting on my heart, but I'm still trying to see God put the pieces of the puzzle together. So that day, this is what I've been talking about when I've been kind of putting you off and saying, hey, I've been feeling it. It matches what you're feeling. I think there's something bringing us together for this. The Spirit is moving on this subject. Let me know if the Spirit's moving in you on this subject as well. That's encouraging to know. I want you to share with God about this subject during this next song. Discipleship making, being a disciple, and then investing in others. Growing in God and then investing into people. And if that's what we want to do, church. This morning, if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus, we talked about evangelism just a little bit today. And it just simply encompasses believing the gospel story, believing that Jesus died for you, that he rose from the dead by the power of God, that he has offered you forgiveness of sins, that he has offered you eternal life with the Father. And to accept that, it's believing it, it's sharing that you believe it, it's repenting, which is turning your life to God, and it's being baptized into his Son. This morning, if you've never done that and you're ready for that, we want to invite you to come forward and accept Jesus' invitation into God's kingdom. This morning, if you're here and you've already done that and you want to place your membership here with us, we invite you to come forward and do that during this next song. And if you simply need prayer, we invite you to come forward during this next song as well, as we stand and we sing our song of invitation.